Aleluia, aleluia, aleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to Jesus, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It almost seems as if God's love is conditional. Jesus says twice today, "Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me, and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. Whoever loves me will keep my word, my Father will love him, and we will come and make our dwelling with him." It seems that our love for God is first through keeping the commandments. And if we don't, then it implies that God the Father won't love us. Well, how does that jive with St. John in his first letter? And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and handed his Son over as an expiation for our sins. How does this go with St. Paul's fifth chapter of his letter to the Romans? That while we were still sinners, God sent his Son to die for us. God the Father didn't even spare his own Son, St. John would say earlier in his Gospel, but handed him over for us all, that we might not perish, but might have eternal life. There's a dynamism of love, but God's love does come first and is not conditional. Our living in God's love, however, is conditional. Whether we're capable of receiving that love of the Lord is dependent on our choice to love the Lord back. It's that old image of the heart that Pope Francis likes to use with its systolic and its diastolic movements. Unless we're receiving in, we cannot give out. But unless we're giving out, the heart is dead and it can't receive. So, by our keeping the Lord's word, by our loving others as he has loved us first, that's the way we open ourselves up to receive God's love. It's not a magic formula, but when we've got a heart that lives according to God's commandments, there's a far greater receptivity, a far greater sensitivity to the love of the Lord, which is unconditional and incessant. There are three conditions we could put in terms of our response that we learned today. The first is humility. Today's first reading in the Acts of the Apostles, we see that miracle of the man born a cripple. It wasn't as if he lost the capacity to walk. He had never walked. Nobody had ever seen him walk. Obviously, there was a massive condition involved. And St. Paul stared at him and said, "Stand up straight on your feet." And the man with faith did. And everybody was startled. It's at that point that they wanted to sacrifice animals to Paul and Barnabas, thinking that they were the god Zeus and Hermes. What was involved in the pagan mentality? In the pagan mentality, they were never really ambassadors of the gods. They were never intermediaries. They were never intercessors. If you were capable of working a miracle, you had to be a god. You wouldn't be working it for someone else. And so they, in that simplistic notion, thought that because of this extraordinary miracle, which could only have been worked by the supernatural, they were willing immediately to respond with gratitude and to sacrifice as if they were the pagan gods. It would have been somewhat tempting for most people, after they had suffered what Paul and Barnabas had suffered up until now, walking through a malaria-infested swamp, hiking up this 3,600-foot rock cliff to get to Antioch and Pisidia. After, as we see at the beginning, there was an attempt to attack and stone them, and they had to leave. After so much suffering, it would have been a little bit easier for Paul and Barnabas, in the name of interreligious dialogue, to allow these folks here in Derbe to sacrifice animals for them, to worship God according to their own categories, and even in a sense to do it through them. But Paul and Barnabas had too much love for the Lord to allow that to occur. They had come not to start a frenzy, but to get people to know and love the true Lord and open themselves up to his love for them. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory, we shouted out in today's responsorial psalm. Unless we're humble and seeking God's glory through our actions, which is what the Lord's commands are all about, we will limit ourselves to the love of the Lord we will be able to receive. The second condition is suffering. Jesus will say to us tomorrow in the gospel that all that he will endure on the following day, remember these words were given on Holy Thursday night, that all he would suffer on Calvary would be so that the love of God might be revealed in him. Suffering is, as we're going to hear later on this week, what prunes us in order that the growth of the love of God might be able to continue. It's very easy to love the Lord when everything's going fine and the blessings in worldly eyes are flowing without number. But it's much more of a challenge. It's a challenge to our faith when we love the Lord in the midst of the pit. But that's when we become far more receptive to that very love that continues even in the midst of those via crucis. Paul and Barnabas likewise would experience this. Tomorrow we're going to see that Paul's going to be killed, and the early Christians will surround him in a circle and raise him from the dead because he was stoned for proclaiming that not to him but to the one true God goes the glory. But it was in that that he began to experience even more the love of the Lord. And he links the two. I have been crucified with Christ. The love I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and has laid his life down for me. Suffering is the second means by which we're able to grow in the love of the Lord. And the third we could focus on today is work. Today the church celebrates the feast of Saint Isidore the Farmer, who died in 1130. Married man. His wife was Santa Maria della Cabeza, one of my favorite names. Saint Mary of the Head. And he was one who, with great humility in the midst of his work, with a capacity for suffering all the insults and the taunt of all his fellow farmers, he was able to grow in the love of the Lord precisely in and through his work. That was a means by which he was able to love the Lord and receive that love in a greater level. He worked very supernaturally, worked together with the Lord. Every morning he would go out for daily mass very early while the other workers were in the field, and they were jealous. And they used to complain to the owner. But somehow Isidore would get not just the same amount of work done as the other farmers who had started a little bit earlier, but even more. And so the owner of the field went to follow Isidore one day, why he was coming late for work, saw that he was going to Mass, and then when he came to work, when he arrived, the owner saw that his guardian angel had been plowing the fields while he was at work, while he was at Mass, excuse me, doing the work of God. And then a little bit later in on the day, when it was particularly arduous, he would see an angel on Isidore's right and on Isidore's left. Isidore was constantly working in a time of prayer, and because of that, he was able to be so much more capable of keeping the Lord's commands. There's a cardinal rule here that people who don't pray every day don't see. They think that they're too busy to pray because they've got so much work to do. But those who actually, despite their enormous workloads, have that time for prayer, accomplish actually more, not less, because they work with a different spirit. They work with a much greater order. They work allowing God to multiply the fruit of their hands. They work without a sense of sort of human perfection and distraction, because the Lord actually helps them. And it's when we love the Lord through our work, because work constitutes so much a part of our day, that we are able to receive so much more of the Lord's blessing of His love. Today, as we come forward to do this work in memory of the Lord Jesus, to start the day just like Saint Isidore started his, let us ask the Lord to help us to grow in this love of the Lord so that it might overflow us into the world. And the great means by which God the Father helps us with this is that great gift of the Spirit, who reminds us of everything the Lord has taught us, all His commandments, and then makes it possible for us from the inside to carry them out. As the same Holy Spirit is about to change bread and wine into Jesus, something that should get us to praise God far more than those in Derby praised Paul and Barnabas, as we get ready for that same Holy Spirit to transubstantiate us into one body, one spirit in Christ, let us ask for the grace that throughout this day, others seeing our work might give glory solely to God. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.